I'd like to start this morning by reading a very well-known passage from Isaiah chapter 53, a passage that encapsulates exactly what today is. And it reads as follows: "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." And I think that passage, as I said, tells the whole story of what today is, the day that we call Good Friday. But what do you think of when you hear the name Good Friday? Almost the whole world knows that it signifies the crucifixion of Jesus, no matter what their belief is about Jesus, or whatever faith they profess, or whatever their particular religion might be. Everyone knows something about Jesus. But why Good Friday, when it's a day involving so much pain, agony, intense suffering, torture, heartbreak? What good can there be in that? So let us take a fresh look at what really happened and make up our own minds about this day called Good Friday. I'd like to read a passage from Matthew chapter 27, verse 17, and the New King James Version puts it this way: "Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, 'Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?'" So it seems like a relatively simple choice. Which one? One or the other? Who do you want? But earlier manuscripts make this choice a little more unsettling, because Barabbas appears with a first name. So the same passage, Matthew 27, verse 17, in the NIV version says, "So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, 'Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?'" So the question Pilate is actually asking is this: which Messiah do you want? Now, names in the Bible are seldom accidental or random. Yeshua, or Jesus, means Yahweh saves. Barabbas means literally Bar-Abbas, son of the Father. So the one man being offered to the crowd carries a name that meant Yeshua, or Jesus, son of the Father. And the other one was Jesus, the true son of the Father. Interesting. Two men, two Yeshuas carrying the same name that means Yahweh saves, or God saves. Now, Barabbas was no ordinary prisoner, not a minor offender, but a violent revolutionary. Matthew calls him a notorious prisoner. Mark and Luke add that he had taken part in a rebellion against the Romans and had committed murder. And John simply calls him a robber. But that was a word often used for violent rebels rather than petty thieves. In other words, putting it plainly, Barabbas was guilty of the very kind of uprising many in Israel hoped the awaited Messiah would lead: armed resistance against Rome. So when the crowd chose him, they were choosing a man who embodied the kind of deliverance they expected. And so they rejected the one who offered a deeper redemption. Standing beside Barabbas was Yeshua of Nazareth, a very different kind of savior, one who spoke of loving your enemies, who spoke of forgiveness, who spoke about a kingdom not built with weapons, and about saving people from sin and punishment, not just saving them from Rome. He was not offering political revolution. He was offering salvation and redemption. And so the crowd chant, "Barabbas, release the revolutionary, crucify the Messiah." And the irony of this moment is absolutely tragic. The guilty man goes free, the righteous is condemned. That moment before Pilate was not just a political decision. It was a picture of the choice humanity still faces. The crowd chose the salvation they understood, the freedom fighter, the man who promised change through force. But the quiet Messiah standing beside him was offering something much deeper and stronger. He offered a rescue, not just from Rome, but from the darkness inside our hearts. And so the question Pilate asked still echoes across history. Which Yeshua will we choose? The one who gives us the outcome we expect, or the one who saves us in a way we never saw coming? But something stops me here. When I read the story of Barabbas walking free while Jesus walks to the cross, I realize something. I am watching my own story. If we are all honest, every one of us stands in the place of Barabbas. Every one of us has things in our past that we cannot undo. Words we can never take back. Moments when we chose darkness over light. And Scripture says it plainly in Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. So now consider this. The story of Barabbas is not just about a criminal who escaped horrific execution. It is a living picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The guilty walks free, the innocent takes the punishment. And the truth of that realization should hit us squarely between the eyes. The cross was meant for me. I am the guilty one. I am the one who deserves judgment. Jesus took the cross that should have been mine. He carried the shame that belonged to me. And that day was not just history. It was grace in action. Barabbas walked away free while Jesus took the fall. And now, whenever I read about Barabbas in the Bible, I no longer see a criminal, someone who deserved punishment. I see me. There is nothing clean about the cross. We have polished it, turned it into jewelry, and made it small enough to hang around our necks, safe enough to glance at without feeling its weight. But the cross was not safe. It was brutal. It was the place where flesh was torn open by whips until muscle and bone were exposed, where a crown of thorns was not gently placed on his head, but driven deep into his scalp. The place where nails were hammered through living tissue and nerves. Every breath was agony, because crucifixion did not kill quickly. It was cruelly designed to suffocate slowly. And this is what sin costs. Sin is not simple or harmless. It is treason against our holy God. And forgiveness is not free. It comes with a price. And that price was paid by Jesus on the cross. Hebrews 9, verse 22 says, "In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." And then we know that very well-known verse from John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You know, God did not send an angel or a prophet. He sent his only Son. Jesus was not forced to the cross. He gave his life freely, knowing well the cost. The cross screams a powerful message, but many do not want to hear it. And the message is that sin is so serious that it required the death of the Son of God. The nails did not hold Jesus to the cross. Love did. Love for the guilty. Love for the undeserving. Love for you and for me. We cannot look at the cross honestly and remain casual about sin. The cross exposes both the horror of sin and the depth of God's mercy. He made a way when there seemed to be no way for absolution. For those who come to him broken and honest, there is forgiveness. No partial forgiveness, but complete forgiveness, paid in full by the blood, by the love of Jesus. So today, let Jesus' sacrifice not go in vain. Let us see ourselves for what we are: sinners rescued by mercy, broken souls redeemed by love, lives saved for eternity by the sacrificial blood of our Saviour Jesus. Let us never take what Jesus endured for granted. So I'm sure you join with me when we say, "Thank you, Jesus, for taking my place on that cross, for loving me at my worst and setting me free when I deserved chains." And then let's take another look at how much Jesus suffered on this day for us. Look at the depth of his love and his willingness to take our place of punishment for all our wrongdoings. Looking at all of that, I'm sure we can all agree that it is indeed a Good Friday.